Hey, good morning, y'all. What a good day. Hey, some of you may not know Paige Yoder. This is Caleb's wife. And you may not know this, but she loves being up front. I mean, we can hardly keep her from getting up here. It's amazing. Listen, you know, some people are a little more reserved in coming out. Has Paige grown just by leaps and bounds? I mean, yeah, Paige, you knocked it out today. I'm so proud of you. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Go on now, get off. You got to go now. Love her to death and just her heart, her humility. And, you know, just, isn't it good to see God kind of maybe push us out of our comfort zone a little and puts us in a place where we have some gifts that we can use and we may be very kind of reticent to do that. And, man, she just stepped up today. The whole team, I just thank the Lord for that. Hey, listen, we're going to continue in being made somebody. And here's the truth. Everybody wants to be somebody. Now, this is the absolute truth. Everybody wants somebody to know them. Did you know statistics tell us that if you come to our church as a first-time visitor, and in 6 months, six people don't know your name, did you know you'll leave? You know why? Because everybody wants to be known by somebody. I mean, there's something about the greeting time that we do and how important that is. And don't ever make a mistake when you're part of our hospitality team, how much it matters that you greet people at the door. But here's the key thing, that you know them in a few weeks and that you speak to them and you call them by name, because everybody wants to be known by somebody. And everybody wants, in some ways, to have an influence, to make a difference. They want to be known as, hey, I know something about this. I have some expertise in this. And you know what? Here's the deal. God wants you to be somebody too. But the truth of the matter is, He may have a different perspective of what it means for you to be somebody and to make a difference with your life. Now, here's the deal. God wants everybody in this place who knows Him. He wants us to make a difference in someone else's life for Him. And we're going to talk about that today a little bit, because in 2 Corinthians, this whole series is going to come out of 2 Corinthians, so you can always read ahead or read with us. But today, last week we had four verses. Today we're going to have a whole whopping three of them. And in it, though, Paul gives us some insights in how we might determine if we're making a difference in this life. Listen to what he says, because the first thing he tells us is one of the critical things is, you and I need to be careful how we determine our worth. Let me say it again. We need to be careful how we determine our worth. Verse 1, are we beginning, Paul says, to commend ourselves again? Now, these are some pretty arrogant folks. And that's what he's saying. Are we beginning really to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You see, Paul's informing us that there were some leaders in the Corinth church that literally thought pretty highly of themselves. And they possessed what would have, in Paul's context, be seen as a sufficient note or understanding that they were folks of making a difference. Listen to what he says. They possess what was called a letter of recommendation. And they held positions in the church, probably, pretty high up. And chances were these folks were pretty eloquent with their words. They were forceful with their words. They possessed the capacity to move people when they spoke. Now, you know, Gene and I laugh at this a lot, because I tell people all the time, when they brag on me, or had somebody tell me this other day, hey, a lot of people came today, and I don't ever go there, because I want you to know something. I understand that I have about this much to do with what's happening at Catalyst, and you've got to understand that, because Roland Daniels is just a human being. That's all. I am purely a country boy from Mississippi. And the truth is, if anybody is the foolishness of God, it would be me, that God would ever think about using me and for me having the capacity. So I have this ridiculous notion that everything that happens in this place is so dependent on Him. That's why I try to get up so early on Sunday mornings so that I can just kneel before Him. Because I have to kneel before Him before I can speak to you. And I have to have a realization of where this comes from. Now, here in Corinth, there were folks there who didn't have this idea. They thought it was about them. Now, Paul tells us, if you remember last week, Paul tells us that they're in such a vulnerable position that they literally peddle the Word of God. Now, what he means is they kind of water it down. They cheapen it. Their ministry bore very little, if any, life transformation in the lives of others. Now, I want to tell you why this is important. Because for Paul, resumes and letters of recommendation, positions held, material things gained, they just don't matter to him. They don't really give him an understanding of a life that's making a difference for Christ. You see, those who make a difference for Jesus are not those who are consumed with their own credentials, with their own commendations. They are just literally committed to investing in others for the cause of Jesus. And that's how Paul determines a difference. You see, I want you and I to understand this. We must never let our need for affirmation overtake our desire and our commitment to affirm somebody else. Paul would say one of the key responsibilities that you and I have as believers is not to be about writing our own letters. Now, please hear me say this, friends. It's not to be about writing our own letters. It's about helping others write their letters in Jesus. You see, that's why we're here, Catalyst. It's to make a difference for Christ in the lives of other people. Now, Paul would say that one of the key responsibilities is just understanding what it means to make a difference. I just wrote this down. Here's a key question for you and me. What difference has Jesus made in your life? And what difference have you made in another person's life for the sake of Jesus? You see, that's how we measure difference. If you and I truly desire to be somebody, then Paul says, and what we must desire more than anything else is to make this life-changing, eternal difference in somebody else's life for the sake of Christ. It's not to be consumed with our own credentials, our own commendations. It's about helping to commend and build others up in Him. You know, I'll never forget, it was a different congregation, but I'm standing out in the lobby after church, and there was a gentleman who came over to speak to me. He and his wife had just started coming to the church. And he knew that I love baseball, and if you spend any time around me, you're going to know that. And so we started talking about baseball, and then I noticed he pulled out his wallet from his pocket. And he pulled out, if you will, I want to say some clippings, and they were about his won and loss record as coach in the youth league. Now, I got to tell you, I almost snickered, because I'm thinking, man, listen, you're not Tommy Lasorda. I mean, the truth of the matter is he was more consumed. Imagine this. As a youth league coach, he was more consumed with his won and loss record, and he never mentioned one thing about any difference made in a player's life. Guys, I want to tell you something, and women, because some of you coach, men and women do in this place. I want to tell you something. If your focus is on the wins and the losses, and it's not on the difference you're making in some child, student's life for the sake of Christ, I want you to know you're doing it for the wrong reason. Now, I'm not telling you don't be competitive, because if there's anybody who's competitive, it's me. Ask Ellen. She's had to rule me in a few times, speaking the Lord's voice over me when she does it. You know, I mean, here's the reality. But I want to tell you something, friends. We are in this world to make a difference for Christ. And that's everything we do. At your workplace, you should be influences for the good of Jesus. When people speak to you, and sometimes you and I have to speak truth, do we not? But we can speak truth in grace and in love. You see, the reality of it is, you and I must not get caught up in our own commendations, our own titles, our own accomplishments, because Christ wants to know what difference has He made in your life and what difference are we making in our lives. You see, our focus is not on ourselves. Our goal must be at this place to help other people write their stories in Jesus. That's really why we exist. Now, here's the second thing Paul wants us to know. Meaning in life comes when we help give meaning to others. Let me say it again. Real meaning in life comes when you and I help give meaning to others. Listen to Paul's words in verse 2. You yourselves are our letter. I love that. He said, you yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. Now, you can understand just from these words how Paul evaluates his life and even his ministry. He says, you yourselves are our letter. You see, Paul doesn't need anybody to write a letter of recommendation for him, because he has found his meaning and his purpose by giving meaning and purpose to others. He says, you are our letter. I don't have to have anybody else say this. And you're written on our hearts. And I love the fact that he says this, because what he wants us to know when he says it's written on our hearts, he's talking about how dear these people are to him and how much he loves them. In fact, he says, I'm able to carry them all the time. I don't have to have somebody else to write it and me keep it in my pocket. I keep you in my heart all the time. That's how dear you are to me. The word here, when it says written, that word literally translated means you're engraved on my heart. You're etched there. You're a permanent fixture, and I carry you everywhere. Now, if you will, these words literally speak of how a pastor loves a congregation. It also means how a parent loves a child. It means that you have a love so dear, so intimate, so deeply personal that it's written on one's heart. Now, here's the crazy thing about being a parent or a grandparent or aunt and uncle. The truth of the matter is, you love that child in every situation. Have you ever had a time, I'm going to ask grandparents this, have you ever had a time when your grandchild wasn't perfect? No, I knew Ellen was going to say, that was a setup. Here's the truth. We've all seen our children and our grandchildren not at their best. But even in their worst, here's the truth. Mine and your hearts are marked by our love for them. You would still do anything for them. You would give your life for them. And what Paul is saying here is that our hearts need to be marked like that for other people. We need to have that kind of deep concern and that kind of deep burden, that kind of deep care, that we love them. And I want to tell you why, friends. It's so important that for us to understand that the greatest thing that you and I are ever going to pass down to our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, the best thing we're ever going to pass down will be that we can leave a mark on their hearts for Christ. That when they look at us, they have a sense that our hearts are so deeply moved by Jesus that in time their hearts are going to be moved by Jesus. It's not about what we give them. It's about the faith we express to them. It's about the way we live out things in front of them. And I want to tell you why this is so important, friends. It's because some things are bigger than us. I wrote some things down. They're bigger than what we accumulate. I promise you can accumulate all you want to, but it's not going to be the greatest influence you're ever going to have on your child. It can be bigger than our titles. It can be bigger than the square footage of our homes. It can be bigger. It is bigger than our take-home pay. It's bigger than any SUV we're ever going to drive. And that thing is a life that is marked in the love and faith of Christ. Parents, grandparents, all of us, I want to tell you something. We are called to leave a mark for Jesus. And it's so important for us to understand that Paul says this is how we measure the difference we make with our life. Now what he says here, he says they are known. He said these letters are known and read by everybody. Now what he's saying is he doesn't have to brag about it. People will just know it by the way you carry yourself, by the way you treat others, by the way compassion and character mark your words and your deeds. It's about the way integrity of our faith marks our lives and how we interact with people. You see, Paul states that everybody will know because everybody will see that there is some difference in our lives because of Christ. Oh, my friends, if there's anything we can do is to say we want to leave a mark for Jesus in this world. Now, last weekend, the great Augusta Masters Golf Tournament was played. And let's be honest, maybe the most hallowed tournament in the world. Played in Augusta, Georgia, with all the azaleas. Now see, it's a southern boy. All the azaleas blooming. Manicured fairways and greens so pristine, it almost seemed unfitting to walk on them. And here we have a gentleman named Patrick Reed who played his way around this course with just this fierce competitiveness. You just have to see his eyes to understand what he has. And a focus that he has become known for. He held off a charge of Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler. He watched his counterpart, Rory McIlroy, kind of fade in the sun, even as it did over the horizon. And I want to tell you something. When you began to read more about this, you found out that there's There's more to Patrick Reed than winning championships. There's also a great history here of broken relationships. And that can be not only for those people that he plays with on the golf course every week, but those he played in college with. And in particular, on this day, just a few short blocks from Augusta, from the country club, were his parents and his sister celebrating alone without him. They have been estranged since his marriage in 2012. They do not speak. They are not allowed on any golf courses. They tried to do one and the PGA officials came and removed them. You see, when he was asked about this at his press conference, he said, "What's this like winning without your family here?" With a very steely look, he said, "I'm just out here to play golf and to try to win golf tournaments." Now, I want to make a confession to you, because I don't want to anyway throw Patrick Reed under the table. I don't know him. I don't want to make judgments based on articles that I've read. But I can surmise something for you. After living life these 62 years and watching people, and the sad thing about it, a lot of my job is about brokenness. I can promise you that if mine and your mantra in life is this, "I'm just here to play golf and to win for myself," I promise you, your life will end up with great brokenness. Because some things, just please hear me, some things are bigger than us. It is about the way we carry ourselves with integrity. It's about the way we live out the compassion of Jesus. It is about the way we treat other folks with respect and humility. It is about the integrity of our faith that marks our lives. One of the greatest lessons that God will give you and me the blessing of learning is when we come to an understanding that our life really has meaning when we start giving meaning and we start giving something bigger to others than to ourselves. Now, Paul kind of transitions the letter here, and he wants us to understand, if you will, why this matters so much. And to lack a better phrase, just please hear me, the proof is in the pudding. He says in verse 3, "You show that you are a letter from Christ." Paul says there's some kind of evidence here. The result of our ministry, and I want you to listen to that phrase because I'm going to come back to it at the end of the teaching. The result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Now, why does this matter? Why does it matter that we invest? Because Paul wants you and me to know that when this person comes to Jesus, there is something powerful and dynamic that begins to take place on the inside. There is the potential of this dynamic life change in the power of Christ. Psalm 43 just says this, "God has given me a new song to sing." The psalmist is writing about the newness and the changes that God brings to a person's heart. Paul would call it, I would say, the contrast of Jesus. It's the contrast of what was, and it is the contrast now to what has become and what is becoming in the power of Christ. Now, Paul states it more clearly in 2 Corinthians 5. He says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and what does he say? A new life has begun. There's been something planted, and there's something growing. You see, in this transformation, our lives are called to reflect a lifestyle, and even the character changes that Jesus calls forth from us, and he empowers us towards. Now notice what he says when he said, "Nonetheless, they are known and read by everybody." He's building upon the notion of what we studied last week in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16 and 17, where he said, what? That you and I are called to be the aroma of Christ. And we found out we're called to leave a wake in our lives. You see, there should be some type of transformation that's taking place. Does it mean we're going to be perfect? Heavens, no. There's none of us going to be there. But does it mean we can make a difference? Does it mean we're called to be different? Heavens, yes. And what Paul wants us to know is that this is beyond us. He said this is not written with ink, but it's written with the Spirit of the living God. You see, Paul wants us to know this life change is not the result of what you and I do. It's not done with common ink, because common ink dries, it fades, and to be honest with you, it can just be lost. No, this letter, Paul says, is written and composed. And notice what he says, because he's very particular. He says, the Spirit of the living God. He said there's something dynamic and active here. There's something powerful and present inside us by the presence of God's Holy Spirit that comes into us when we receive Him. This life change we experience, I promise you, what Paul wants us to know, it's all about the Holy Spirit working inside us and enabling us and empowering us to be changed. Now, Paul has a purpose in this verse. He wants you and me to discover, if you will, and maybe in some of our lives, not only to discover, maybe we need to recover our awareness and dependence upon the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. You see, our letter, friends, cannot be written without the Spirit's help. He's our tutor. He is the person who makes it possible. And what Paul wants us to know is the Holy Spirit is vital. He's not supplemental. He's not a one day of vitamin of nutrition. He is our source. I like how Daffelman puts it. He says, Jesus is not an idea to be believed, but a person to be encountered and trusted. Don't you love that? Or better, Jesus is the person who encounters us with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You see, Apostle Paul wants us to know that that resurrection power makes its way to you and me through the power, of, he says, of the life-giving God. Man, is that good stuff? You see, we have a response. We have a response to Christ coming to us and bringing to us our redemption and our salvation, our forgiveness. And that response is, we have the potential to change our lives in Him and through Him. And Paul says he does that by creating in us a new heart. Listen to the last part of verse 3. Not written on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You see, not only is this letter not written by a human hand or with common ink, it's not written on a common tablet. Now, Paul is talking about here the tablets of stone. He's absolutely referring back to the stones, the tablets of the Ten Commandments that Moses walked off the mountain with for the Israelites. And what he's saying is that's the old covenant. But he said, I want you to know, this Jesus has come with something new. Now, this is one of the real quagmires of 2 Corinthians, because those teachers that Paul was talking about at the beginning, they weren't teaching this. They were teaching about themselves, not the power of Christ. And what Paul wants us to now know is that now what you've got to understand, it's not about who you are, your letters of recommendation. It's about what Jesus is doing in your heart and the openness that we have to let Christ into our hearts. And he says this is written on each person that receives Him. It's not something that's dead or calcified. It's something that happens not externally but internally. Paul says that it happens in our hearts. And he understood the word heart because he knew what this was. It was the center of which defined a purpose. And Paul said, that's what's got to define us, is Jesus in our hearts. And as we accept Christ, this something wonderful. I mean, it's incredible. It takes place. A new heart begins to be born in us. And as it does, then there are some prophecies that were made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before. And yet here they start finding their fulfillment, if you will, in the person of Christ. Listen to Ezekiel 11, 19, 20. This is such cool words. And I want to give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart. Any of you relate to that? Oh Lord, there was a time in my life that I did, and some day still. And I will give them a tender, responsive heart so that they will obey my decrees and regulations, and then they will truly be my people and I will be their God. Jeremiah 31, 33. But this is the new covenant. That's what Paul's saying. This is the new covenant. Now listen, Jeremiah is speaking about this hundreds of years before. This is the new covenant. I will mate with the people of Israel. I will put my instructions deep within them and I will write them on their hearts. and I will be their God, and they will be my people. You see the whole premise that Paul has here? The whole premise is that his belief that those two prophecies have become reality in Jesus. And our relationship to the Father now is no longer a manifestation of the do's and don'ts of the law and its rituals. Now it's this incredible potential process of renewal and revitalization that God's Spirit begins to work in our hearts when we receive His Son Jesus. You see, the wonderful thing about this letter, is that it can't be misplaced or lost. It can't be, listen to me, conveniently tucked away when we're uncomfortable with the contents. This letter is one that is constantly before us because here's the truth. Because it simply lives in us. And its words should always read thus. I belong to Jesus. You know, I have a dear friend who many, many years ago had a terrible bout with cancer. And he had to go this extensive amount of chemo treatments. Now, we know that technology and medicine has changed so much, but over those years, the chemo had a real difficult effect on his heart. And what happened was the chemo calcified the ventricles of his heart, which means they lacked the pliability necessary to pump blood throughout his body. Now, needless to say, surgery was needed, but also needless to say that 20 years ago or 25 years ago, he would have passed away. But because of this ridiculous progression that we've made in the medical field, his ventricles were replaced and his heart pumps his blood in a new and different way. Now, I want you to hear me for a second. Sin can do the same thing to our hearts. Selfishness, greed, ego, anger, bitterness, unresolved heart, a hurt over the years can cause our hearts, as Ezekiel said, to be stony and stubborn. Yet here's the crazy thing. In the simple gesture of receiving Jesus into one's life, that cold and stony heart can be replaced with a new and responsive one. Hallelujah. I love 1 Timothy 1:5. Just listen to its words with me. Paul said, "The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love." Now notice what he says. Love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. If you don't mind, I'm going to ask a personal question. How long has it been since you've had a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith? You see, here's the good news. Here's the great news. You can do that today. You, like my friend, can be healed of a calcified and stony and stubborn heart. All you need to do is call out to Jesus. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." Now, my friends, I don't normally do this, but I'm just going to ask us to bow our heads at this moment. And I'm not closing the sermon, so don't start packing up your purses and getting ready yet. All right, hang with me. But today, if you would like to offer this simple prayer, I'm going to read it. And you can say it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I want to know You personally. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. I now open the door of my life to You, and I ask You to come in as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, take control of my life. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. And Lord, make me the kind of person you desire me to be. And I simply ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, my friends, if you prayed that believer's prayer this morning, I want to encourage you in two things. You have just come into a new heart. Jesus has just come into your life and forgiven you, redeemed you. And what I would ask is that you follow the Lord's example of baptism on April the 29th. I also want to invite you to give witness of this to your family and friends, because I promise you, there is a powerful moment when Paul says, "And you are our letter, your life is your letter to Christ." I want that moment to be a letter to Christ for you. Because it is a powerful moment, not only for you, but everybody that witnesses it. You see, God wants to make a difference in our lives. And God wants us to make a difference in others' lives. Now, I told you I was going to go back to a phrase, so I want to go back. In verse 3, it says, "You show that you are a letter from Christ." And notice what Paul says. This is the only time he even makes reference to his own ministry. He says, "You show that you are a letter from Christ." And notice what he says, "the result of our ministry." Catalyst, I want you to know, that's the kind of congregation we want to be. We want to be that kind of place that makes a difference in the lives of others for the cause of Christ. And to be honest with you, God's blessing us, is He not? I mean, He's just blessing us. I mean, the favor of the Lord is on this place. And, you know, over the last few months, it's been crazy how just the attendance has come up as people are coming back to Christ, coming to Christ, growing in Christ. And I promise you, we have a deep understanding this is not because of us. But I want you to know, and because of that, I want to share with you, we're moving towards what we're calling an all-in campaign. You see, we learned some things when we went through the rock. We learned that we weren't ready. We weren't prepared for God to open the right door for us. And so we're trying now to put ourselves in a position, because here's the deal. At some place, Catalyst, we want to have a place of permanence, don't we? We call it a place of legacy. We want to have a footprint in this area for the cause of Christ. And we want a place that's not for us, it's for our children and our children's children. We want to see them married there, baptized there, their children dedicated there. We want that kind of permanent place. But here's the deal, we have to be ready for that to happen. And that means financially we have to be ready. So we're going to be launching, and even this coming week, you're going to be getting some invitations from Ellen and from me, because we're going to have, for whatever different phrase, we're going to call it vision briefings. And everybody in this place is going to be invited. And this is what we're asking. Everybody be a part of these meetings. You're going to have several options that you can go to and that you can show up for. But you need to let us know that you're coming, if you will. But those invitations are coming to you. Because what we want to do is help create a place of permanence and legacy for Catalyst. And for us to do that, we're going to have to all be in. Now I want to tell you what this means. That you and I are all in every way. That we're going to be a place, if you will, a place that's all in for God, all in for our community, all in for our families, all in for our faith. We're going to have every one of us participate. And I'm really asking you to do that so that we can move ahead together. Now, a week from this Monday, we're going to begin 40 days of prayer that are going to be continuous throughout our campaign. And I'm asking everybody to participate, because I promise you this, what's going to have to grow in this is not just in the numbers. What we need to grow in is our faith in the Lord. And what we want to do is cover this, bathe this with prayer every day. And I'm going to ask all of us to join. We're going to be sending you a notice every day. And that's why it's so important. Please let us know what your email is. And make sure, if you haven't filled that out, let us know, just so you can be informed of what's happening. And every day you're going to get a notation on the 40 days of prayer. Just something to guide you, to lead us through this whole process. Because we want to see what God's going to do. And at those 40 days, we want to see just how much God's going to increase our faith. But in the midst of that, for these vision briefings, we just want you to come so you can learn more about it. We have different committees that are working right now, some on the all-in campaign, and the leadership is ridiculous. We have some who are working on facilities, because we realize that come January 1 of 2019, we got to find a place. And so we have another group who's working on the facilities, and all these people are working hard. But I promise you, here's the deal. God knows where we're going already. You know, have you ever been nervous about anything? I mean, I was up one night. I mean, up one night thinking about this. And I turned to Matthew 6, verse 8. And this is what Jesus said. And your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. I don't worry about it anymore. God's got this. But it's going to take all of us praying, all of us sacrificially giving, all of us being a part. And I don't know about you, but I'm so doggone excited about it for this fact. God not only wants to make a difference in our lives, Catalyst, God wants us to make a difference in others' lives for Him. Amen? And that's our burden. That's why we're doing this. And that's why we're moving ahead. You're going to get an invitation. Come to the vision meetings. Let's just get to know each other, laugh, have some fun together, eat some cookies, Kool-Aid, cake, coffee, whatever. If you want to bring more than that, you bring it. And we'll be glad to eat it. I want you to know something. When Paul said that you're written, he said that the Corinthians are written on his heart. I know we've only been with you a short time. And team, you can come on up. But you're written on mine and Ellen's heart. And we love you. We feel blessed to be here, and we're humbled to be here. And now we can't wait to see what God has for us. We cannot wait to see what God has for us. And we believe that it is good, good, good things. Amen? Let's stand and let's worship the Lord.